Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com, and you can get our programs wherever you like to get your podcasts. We have quite a few different programs, so make sure you check them out there at thetrumpet.com. There is a biblical passage that reveals a lot about being born again, and we want to understand God's word on this point and be careful to not read our own understanding into it and make sure that we really know what God is saying in his word. So let's take a look at this particular passage to start with today. We've got a few Bible passages we'll look at. And if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out so we can look at these together. And this first one is in 1 John 3 and verse 9. 1 John 3 and verse 9 says, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." So just stop and think about that passage for a little bit. This clearly says that when born again, a person will not sin, ever. They will never sin. How many human beings never sin? Well, there's only one example in history, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we're not trying to continue in sin. We definitely want to be repenting and changing. But if we're honest, we know that we've all sinned at times. Romans 3 and verse 23 says that all have sinned. And so, with the exception, of course, there would be Jesus Christ. But other than that, everyone has sinned. Does a person sin even after they become a Christian or they have God's Spirit? Well, notice 1 John 1 verses 8 through 10. This gives us the answer to that. 1 John 1 verses 8 through 10. And here John writes, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So, of course, we see here that very clearly, as human beings, we still sin at times. We should be trying to repent, of course, and change. A true Christian is one who is led by God's Spirit, and they should be growing and conquering sin. But remember, we read there in 1 John 3 and verse 9 that when a person is born again, when they're born of God, they cannot sin. They cannot. So the question then, of course, is, well, when is someone born again? Notice 1 John 5 and verse 18. 1 John 5 and verse 18. It says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sins not." So again, that's a born again state. That's a state where a person will no longer sin. And then it continues, "But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not." So now we see two different states of being. Being born again and being begotten of God. Two different categories, begotten and born. And as we read there, "Whosoever is born of God sins not. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not." So begotten and born, those are two different things. In physical reproduction, a child is first begotten, and when it has grown sufficiently inside the mother, then it is born. Now imagine on the physical level, finding out that your friend is pregnant and saying to her, "Congratulations, let me hold that newborn baby." Well, they'd think you're crazy, right? Because, well, the baby's not born yet. It's just begotten. Is the lady pregnant? Yes, of course. Is there a child growing in there? Yes, of course. It's a begotten child, but it's not born yet. We understand that when it comes to physical reproduction. We know that a baby isn't born at first. They're just begotten. And then when they are born of their mother and they come into this world, at that point they're born on the physical level. Notice this quote. This is from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. This is Lesson 8. And it's a great course to sign up for, and it goes through just so many different truths of your Bible that you need to understand God's plan of salvation for mankind. This particular lesson is talking here about being born again, and it says, once we are born of God at the resurrection, see, we're born of God at the resurrection, we will be able to live without ever sinning again, because we will then possess the fullness of God's perfect character and divine nature. But as long as we are only begotten of God, we must keep ourselves, as we read there in 1 John 5 and verse 18, from sinning. We must resist evil temptations. But we can still commit sin, and when caught off guard or in a moment of weakness, we can and do sometimes sin. Now, again, that doesn't mean that sin's okay and it's not that big of a deal. It's very important that we repent of sin. But this is just acknowledging the reality, as we read in the Bible, that as a human being, we are still prone to sin. When a person is born again at the resurrection, born into the family of God, the kingdom of God, as a God being, they will not sin. God cannot sin. And so when we put these scriptures together, and we're just looking at a few, there's quite a few that we could look at, but we're looking at just a few today, all of this proves that true Christians are begotten today, but will be born again at the resurrection. And of course, if a person dies in the faith before Christ returns, they'll be resurrected at Christ's return. If a Christian is living when Christ returns and God's Spirit is active in their lives, they'll be changed, right? It will still be a change. And so that is the time when people will be born again. We hear that term all the time, born again, and people think, oh, that means that, you know, a person has accepted Jesus and they're born again. But when you read the scriptures, you can see that that's not the case at all. When a person is called and they repent and they become converted and baptized and they receive God's Spirit, they're just begotten. They're begotten, which is awesome. But we have to understand there's a difference between being begotten and being born. Begotten and born again. See, those are two different things. We understand it very clearly on the physical level. But when it comes to the spiritual level, people will get a little bit confused on it because there's been so much deception out there about this topic. True Christians are begotten today, and they will be born again at the resurrection. Notice another amazing biblical truth about being born again. We just put a few scriptures together. There's more that are in this lesson you can go through, Lesson 8 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. But we'll look at a few more here. Look at 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Eternal came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. The point we're looking at here is that David was called for a special purpose in the Old Testament. And because of his special purpose, he was given God's Holy Spirit. And we just read that. The Spirit of the Eternal came upon David from that day forward. And he was a true Christian. Yet David still sinned occasionally, and we know about that history. He had to deeply repent, and he did repent. And he was concerned about losing God's Spirit because of his sins, but he did repent. But now let's put another passage together with this. Colossians 1 and verse 18. Colossians 1 and verse 18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, talking about Jesus Christ, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So we read about David And of course, there are others there in the Old Testament who were called and had God's Spirit. You can think of Moses, and you can think of Abraham and others. And they were true Christians and saints. You read a lot about them in the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. And yet Jesus Christ, who came many years later, is revealed to be the firstborn from the dead. Christ is the first and only to be born again at this point. He's the only one to be resurrected to God life. David will be born again when he is resurrected. The same is true for Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, and all the saints that were begotten in New Testament times also. Again, the point that we're drawing from all of this is that none of those people were born again. They were given a portion of God's Spirit. They died in the faith, and they are waiting to be resurrected. They will be born again at that time into the family of God. Jesus Christ is the first one to have done it. And he came many years after David and Moses and them. And so it just shows, again, when you start putting these scriptures together, you begin to get a clear picture. What happens to people today when they receive God's Spirit? They are begotten. They're not born again until that resurrection. And Christ is the first one to have done it, and the only one to this point. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now a person might stop and say, well, it says firstborn from the dead. It doesn't say born again. Well, this isn't just talking about being resurrected physically again. Christ did that many times. When he was on this earth, he resurrected people from the dead. You can read about those examples. There were examples in the Old Testament where people were resurrected from the dead to a physical life, and they just continued to live on physically. But they weren't born again. Born again means being born into the family of God, becoming a spirit being, a God being. And that's why Christ is the first and only to be born again at this point. And then, of course, all those first fruit saints will be born again at his return. And there's three resurrections that you need to understand about. We have a whole reprint article on that that you can get at thetrumpet.com that talks about those three resurrections. So you understand God's plan of salvation for mankind. He's got a very specific plan, and it includes everybody. It gives everybody an opportunity. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, Lesson 8. It says, since those Old Testament individuals had God's Holy Spirit, and yet Christ was the first to be born of God by virtue of his resurrection, then it follows that those men of old were merely begotten of God, not yet born into his family. They, as well as other spirit-begotten children of God, will be born of God at the first resurrection. See, that's an amazing truth, and we need to understand that. That true Christians, again, those that are being led by God's Spirit, are begotten today, and being born again occurs at that resurrection. Now, the idea of being born again in this human life is deeply entrenched in many people's minds. Many people think that that's something that happens in this life. Why do they think that? Well, because it's what they have been taught. Satan does not want people to understand God's true plan of salvation. He wants to confuse people on that. And Satan deceives the whole world. Let's read that. Revelation 12 and verse 9. This is such an important point. Revelation 12 and verse 9. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, or his demons, were cast out with him. If you look around at the world today and you see all the upheaval and you wonder, well, why is this happening? It's because Satan is cast to this earth, his demons are here, and they're causing all kinds of problems. They're stirring up all kinds of terrible, bitter anger and hatred and violence, and you see it everywhere. And Satan, as it says here, we just read it there in Revelation 12 and verse 9, he deceives the whole world. That includes religion. There's a lot of ideas about the Bible that are not true, but they're commonly said. And so people think, well, that's probably true. I heard it. I've heard that. Lots of people say that. Lots of people believe that. But that's why we need to go through these scriptures. That's why you need the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, so you can find out for yourself what the Bible says. And so if you are one who isn't sure about this topic or need more scriptural proof, that's fine. And you can get that by signing up for the Correspondence Course. This particular lesson, Lesson 8, goes into a lot more detail on the subject than what we can cover in this brief podcast. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us that we are to prove all things. So it is something that we must do. We must go and study the scriptures, and we have to prove what's true and what's not. What does the Bible teach about being begotten and being born again? We need to understand that. And again, the correspondence course will help you do that. Prove all things from your Bible. You can go through and look at all the scriptures and put them together, just like we've been doing here. But of course, there's a lot more on this topic. You can put together more scriptures, and the lesson plan is laid out for you so you can get into some really in-depth study. The truth of God's plan for mankind is far more incredible than what most people think it is. The truth that we're only begotten today as Christians is a wonderful truth, because we begin to really understand the plan of God and the future that he has for us. Being begotten today is a wonderful step leading to being born again into the kingdom and family of God. It's a step that we can't skip, that we don't want to take for granted, that we have to really understand and understand how important it is to ultimately being born again into that very kingdom and family of God. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Again, if you would like more information on this, please sign up for the correspondence course, especially Lesson 8. And you can also read The Incredible Human Potential, and we have other literature as well there at thetrumpet.com that talks about this subject. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.